Aloha, Mud Babies Pod people and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. My guests this week will be Jenny D and Flip. You guys know Flip from being on KYGO when I was there. I mean, not all you guys. People that listen around the world won't know that. But I was on the radio for years doing morning radio here in Denver. And Flip did nights at KYGO. Very funny, very talented man. Jenny D was the intern for us when I was on the morning show, and now she does her own show here in Denver. She's syndicated through, I think, what used to be Westwood One. I'll have to check on that with her. But she is the guest with Flip, and that is not his real name. But he likes to go by Flip. Flip is kind of a quiet, keep to himself kind of guy. I'm just happy to get him on the show. And he's been on before, had thousand hits on the podcast. Amazing. Made me very happy. Okay? So I'm glad that they're back. It's going to be a great show. And let's do it. Let's do it right now. It's Flip and Jenny on Remasculate.
Well, let's try this one more time. We are back in the Remasculate studio.
Basement.
With Jenny D and Flip. You know these guys because, well, you might not know Jenny because she has been on before. Flip's been on before. And you got like 1,000 people listening to the podcast.
That's scary.
Isn't that...
Sad. It's just kidding.
You're 1,000 disappointed listeners.
I know. I've never had that many complaint letters. They were like, please never have him back on. So I brought Greg in. Flip's not here. Greg's here.
Whatever.
So you guys, thanks for doing this again. We recorded last week, and it was very, very funny. And then for whatever reason, the computer said, no, fuck it, I'm not saving it. I'm not saving it. I'm not going to let you embarrass yourself by posting this.
I like it.
So have you ever had a computer? I guess computers can now think for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And thankfully, this one did it. No, because last week was very good. We were actually laughing about all the hidden Disney stuff that Disney mm-hmm. is putting into movies and kids' movies.
We did kind of go all over the map.
It's probably good that yeah. video is gone. Like nobody.
No, it's not.
It's going to be one of those when we get really famous and he's going to pull it out. Oh, just kidding. Here you go.
No, Jenny is a new mom, and so we were discussing watching kids' movies. Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy watching them, or are you just forced to watch them?
Oh, no, I really enjoy them.
You really do.
Oh, I've always been a Disney freak, but that's how I act. That's how I roll.
What is your favorite Disney movie?
Little Mermaid.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I know. I love Little Mermaid. I don't know why.
The gayest Disney movie?
Hey! You got to kiss the girl. Go on and kiss the girl. That's when you know you've watched too many kids' movies. You're by yourself. You're like cutting the grass, singing, you got to kiss the girl.
I'll do that sometimes, or Maddie's went to bed and I'm still watching the Disney Channel, and I'm like, oh, I should probably
turn
this off.
You don't even change it after they fall asleep?
I'm like, oh, I just was going to watch the end of this. I was really interested.
I love this. This is the secret world of Zack and Zack.
I'm learning so much.
Do you even know, Flip, do you know any of the Disney shows?
No.
None?
I mean, not shows. Obviously, I've seen Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Now, Little Mermaid is one of the ones that we know they put penises in the, mm-hmm. the sandcastles, yeah. right?
I have to Google this. I'm sorry.
Oh, you've never seen
this? No, I haven't seen Little Mermaid since I was a kid.
Probably didn't catch that.
Yeah.
There's
like all this stuff is going on in Disney movies. Are we indoctrinating our kids without even knowing it, you know?
Subliminal messages.
Like subliminal messages? Penises are good in the sand. You know?
Princesses like them a lot. No.
But it's always, like, when you find it, Flip, when you find it, you're going to see that it is penises.
That's a penis. I mean.
There it is.
Sure, it looks like a golden penis.
Yeah, but it's always penises. It's never a vagina.
Yeah, but who's the majority of the people who draw these movies?
Gay men.
I mean, is that printed somewhere?
I don't know if it's printed anywhere, but I've heard that as a...
You should Google that now. I want to see how bad we can mess up your computer here.
That's what Flip does. Flip's here for the podcast just to Google and
he's a fact checker.
A fact checker, yeah.
Jody Messina once in an interview called me, she's like, Mr. Google or something.
Did you do it while you were like, let me
Well, I wasn't doing the interview. Paul was doing the interview, and he's interviewing Jody, and he's talking about when her first single came out. She goes, I don't know. I don't remember. So I was in the studio running the board. I looked it up and ran in. I go, your first single came out in, I don't know, 92 or something, according to Google. So she's like, oh, thank you, Mr. Google. So then she goes, not everything on there is true. And then later on in the interview, something else, some other question got asked, and she goes, I don't know, where's Mr. Google at? He can tell us. It's
kind of funny. Okay. Janet is Mr. Not Mr. Mr. Really? Not Mr. The girlfriend is not Mr., but she is Miss Search Engine. Like, mm-hmm. she's the flying thumbs of fate. Like, someone will say something, and she's like, no, see, it says right here.
Smartest woman in the world.
Uh-huh. John, the bartender from the Grizzly Rose. We went mm-hmm. to see, we ran into him because we went to see Clint Black the other day.
Oh, mm-hmm. nice.
Great show. But we sat next to John, and, you know, like, what year did this song come out? That would have been 94, you know, it was one of those kind of.
I don't know what they did before Google, though. Like, if you didn't have a chance to look it up, it'd be conversations.
You actually argued about stuff.
Yeah. Google has ruined good arguments.
Yes.
Bar arguments are gone. Guys sitting around at bars going, you know, they won the 84 Super Bowl. No, click, bullshit. Look, click, click. See? No, it was.
Now, we talked about this last time, how Google, the mobile phone has ruined the bar argument.
It's done.
Now you just go to the bar and sit in silence.
Yeah.
Ain't shit to talk about.
Can't win money.
Yeah,
can't.
No.
Or if you're Janet or me, you correct everybody at the bar. No, that's not true. Here you go.
The entire time.
Yeah.
Now, as I was coming down here to start the podcast, I was turning off the TV and the news was on. And the last thing that I heard was more pedestrians are being killed because of their cell phones than any other year. That was the last thing I just heard.
Was walking and texting?
Yes. Yes. Now, it seems like a horrible thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a horrible thing. But
it's
completely avoidable in some instances.
Natural selection right there.
That's where I was about to go
with
this.
Thinning of the herd.
But I think I've actually done that before. I'm walking and didn't see a pothole, didn't see, you know, a person, and you just bump into.
Have you done that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not lately.
Is the phone making us dumber?
Well, I think it is because you don't have to, you don't have to remember things.
Don't
to
think?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Let me look it up. Like, I don't have to use my brain to actually remember what I wanted to say. I'm like, oh, wait, here it is.
Remember when you actually had to read the encyclopedia to get information store
that's
information?
So true.
Go to the library to check out the book.
We owned an encyclopedia. We did too. We were dirt poor. My dad bought an encyclopedia because it made us smarter.
That's right. You need this information in your house because you never know when you're going to have to do a research paper about chlamydia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? What kind of school did you go to?
I don't know.
School hard knocks.
Yeah.
He's like, I better look. Chlamydia, definitely.
Yeah.
Burning in an inch. I better look that up.
It's not.
I said something about eat moldy bread. All right, whatever.
That was yesterday. Let's
never
be honest.
Never look up symptoms, though. That's something else, too.
WebMD.
Yeah. Have you done WebMD?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, it was with the baby. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what does this mean? And then things pop up. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I've done that so many times in the middle of the night, especially the first 2 months, because I'm a new parent. I'm like, is this normal? Now, like, why is she doing this?
Does WebMD – I haven't been on there in a long time. But there used to be a version of WebMD. I think it was WebMD. It was on disk that you actually typed in each symptom, and then it did a search. Is WebMD sort of like that now? Because you type in a cough, sneeze. You know, you put all the symptoms.
Burn when pee.
Yeah.
You break stuff up.
Yeah.
I'm worried about using your bathroom in your house now.
But if you put in all these symptoms and then you hit search, something will come up like you have a virus that hasn't been seen in Egypt since 1925. You know? Yeah.
The bubonic plague is back.
It is, actually, though.
It is.
You know, that's sad. Yeah. There was, like, kids getting, like, bitten by...
it was in some state park or something.
Yeah.
The plague is back.
Yeah. I'm just going to put a big old bubble around Maddie.
Look
and then
this.
I figure that'd be good, right?
The religious crusades are happening again. And the plague is back.
Oh, no.
Dun, what dun, are we... Dun!
Have we been stuck in a time machine?
I don't know. I feel I'm pretty safe, but I'm worried about you, too.
Thanks.
Sorry. At least I worry about you.
Oh, that's true. I'll take that. So I have to share the story real quick. I'll try to make it as short as possible. So Aubrey's mom, I love her to death, but she's when it comes to the internet, she's not an internet person.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing handyman, fixing. I fixed like their ice maker in their fridge, and I fixed the display on their oven. So I spent like a week and a half over there fixing stuff, and I finally finish up, and she goes, "Oh, and my printer's broken." And I'm like, "All right, I'll take a look at it." So sure enough, the printer's showing some sort of display message of like printer head's not connected. I don't know. So I Google it. You know,
Google
has answered everything. So I look it up, and I tell her, "All right, well, give me a couple of days. Let me see what I can find. Like, I'm pretty good at fixing, you know, stuff like this. So let me see if I can find a solution." So I stop back by the next day to make sure the ice maker's working. And I go, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to, you know, get back to your printer." And she goes, "Oh, well, I called HP support, or at least I think I did. And they said it was a network worm." And I go, "A network worm?" Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Yeah, network worm." And I go, "Michelle, that's not a real thing. Who did you call?" She's like, I don't know. I called and left a message, and then they called back on a block number. And so I'm talking to him, and then he started opening files on my computer. And I'm like, "Oh, my God, what did you do? What did you do?"
She gave him remote access.
And now she has a network.
Yeah.
Your computer has chlamydia now. Grab the encyclopedia, type in the symptoms. So, I got to play tech support. I'm like, "Give me your laptop now." Like, I shut off the internet and got to look in. And she spent 22 minutes on the phone with some guy. And, you know, I'm like, "Well, did he have an accent?" She goes, "Yeah, real thick Indian accent." I'm like, "Well, that doesn't mean it's HP
support." Well, that's probably HP.
Yeah. It's some guy in New Jersey faking an accent in his basement.
"You probably have a network worm.
Give me your credit card number." But yeah, it was bad. She gave him remote access. And at one point, to get remote access, he sent her to a website called, and I had to go into her search history to figure this out, because, you know, asking her questions is like asking a 3-year-old who broke the lamp while mom was in another room. You know, you're trying to get, "Well, what happened to the lamp?"
I don't know.
I did this. So I'm trying to get answers, and I'm like, "Oh, Lord." So at one point, he sent her to a website called 789USA.com.
Oh, that sounds legit.
Yeah, that's total HP customer support.
Right.
Yeah, they sent you to 789USA.com. And
they didn't even put HP in it.
No.
What number had she called? Like, what had she called? Did she call an actual HP number and leave?
I think what happened, she tried to Google her problems, you know, the computer, the printer problems, and then... You know, there was an ad on the side like need customer support. You know, click here, and she clicked, and I found a website that was not related to HP. And
yeah, because I have seen I saw an article not long ago about when you Google stuff, the ads that pop up top before the search engine.
Yes,
seen, there's actual ads that pop up, and they're supposed to be shaded, but they're not shaded as much as they're supposed to.
Well, of course
I don't know if
not.
You've noticed that?
Yeah, of course not.
And people. Don't ever use the computer. Go, "Oh, look."
It's shiny.
HP support. So just talking about the internet and stuff, I was like, "Oh."
So you did fix it. Did she have anything wrong with it? Did you find, had they inserted a keystroke?
I didn't find anything, but we wiped the laptop, you know, just changed all the passwords.
The big question, did you fix the printer?
No.
To bring still it all broken. Back around. Yeah.
And those network worms, they're tough.
I don't know how to
battle those. So,
but I guess if you're not used to computers, that's something you're like, "Oh, that sounds like it's something that could happen."
Did it cost her any money?
She didn't admit to it. Yeah. I mean, you've got to realize this was 24 hours after she'd called them. She's like, "Oh," and then, you know, as she's realizing, "Oh, I made a boo-boo," you know.
Right. Like,
"Michelle, tell me everything." Yeah. You know,
"No, tell me everything.
I
can't." Yeah. I don't want to. Yeah.
She's like, "He started opening up, you know, private documents," and I'm like, "Oh, Lord."
Did you look at your pictures?
Yes.
Oh, that would be uncomfortable. Yeah. That's your girlfriend's mom. I'm
just
saying.
Yeah,
just
girlfriend's mom. Like, I'm not saying anything bad about her. Just not. Yeah, no.
Is she single?
No, she's married.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so I'm assuming the like those photos. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, those photos. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Well, that's why I was going to go. If she's single,
I know
her,
and the picture in my mind is not good now.
Married people,
you guys.
No, married people don't date. They don't do that.
They don't sext each other?
My parents don't do that.
Your parents sext each
Shut
other.
Shut up.
Don't talk about Nana.
Not my mom.
Do you think your parents sext each other?
Oh, yeah. They do it all the time, and they make...
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. They're so gross. My parents are so gross.
Are they really?
Oversharers. Oh, yeah. If you ever spend an evening with my parents, at some point, they will bring up the sex that they had that day. Or, oh, they're so gross.
Really?
I love you, Mom and Dad, but seriously.
How does it come up? I mean, does it just like...
Oh, they'll find
TV
a way to bring it into... Yeah.
That Campbell Soup commercial. That reminds me.
Oh, yeah. If you can imagine, like, the most uncomfortable thing your parents have ever said in, like, times 100. That's, like, a daily, weekly basis. We play the gross out game in our family, though.
Do you know what
your
father really likes me to do?
It's gross. No. Don't ever call him in the morning. What are you doing? We're just having sex in bed. Oh, my God. Oh.
They stop midway through to talk.
And I like to think that they're lying, but half the time they're not. It's
Why
gross.
Do people think that's okay? You know, I don't.
It's not.
They're lacking the social skills.
It's not. It's not like the other day I was on stage. I said something about parents that think they're the kid's best friend. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be. Like you think but we don't.
Some of the stuff you're telling me, I wouldn't want my best friend to tell me.
Yeah. And then he put his thumb in my butt. What? Can I get new eggs, Mom? You know, it's just
terrible.
Oh, yeah.
No breakfast at your house.
No.
Right. Has it always been like that? Have they been overshares?
Oh, yeah. I remember I went on my first date ever, and it was back in high school. And my dad, oh, my God. So, like, the guy comes to pick me up at the door, and I'm all nervous, and he's all nervous. I mean, we're 16 years old. I wasn't allowed to date till 16. And then my dad proceeds to fondle his butt. And, like, and of course, this guy is not going to tell me that at the time. So I'm like, why didn't he ever call me?
So your dad fondled the boy's butt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he was fondling his own butt.
No, he thought it'd be funny to, like, intimidate him and make him a little
nervous. That'll get you arrested now.
Oh, I know. That's why he'd be in jail. One time we're in it was prom or homecoming, and he's like, I'll take the pictures. Taking pictures of his junk. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing?
Oh, no.
Again, now he would be arrested and he'd be a certified sex offender.
But, okay, let's look at the big picture of that. It was all in fun. Mm-hmm. We all, and oh, now yeah. Everybody goes to jail. So where's the line on that? Do you think it just got too far? Like, hey, it was all in fun.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there's a certain point I think people are just a little too oversensitive. I mean, growing up like that, I'm like, nothing shocks me or surprises me really anymore. I don't have the ability to have that shock. But
now, my dad never did stuff that bad, but he would say, like, if my sister had a date over, he'd be like, that guy's acne is not as bad as you said it was.
I like that.
You know, it's just that kind of messing with them. You
well, what's that? And cleaning this gun. Nowadays you do that and somebody could probably have you arrested for something. You know, like...
He threatened me.
He threatened me.
As
really?
I walked to the door, he threatened me.
He should have threatened you.
Like, what's the story with Tim McGraw the first time his oldest daughter, I think, was going on a date? The boy showed up at the house and rang the doorbell. Well, Tim was, like, in the kitchen... I think, like, cutting up steaks or something. And the doorbell rang. He didn't even know the guy was coming over. Like, it's pure coincidence. So he's got, you know, an apron on, blood-soaked apron or something. And he happened to walk to the door with a knife in his hand. And there was, you know, his oldest daughter's date for the night. And said that boy never came back.
Never came back. Yeah. When you answer the door dressed like the barber of Seville.
Yeah.
Making meat pies.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's true, though. That's how I want Jason to be for Maddie, though. I'll be that way. I don't care. I'll be the crazy mom.
Will you?
Mm-hmm.
What's her dating age? Have you decided?
Yeah, 30. I think 30 is a pretty...
Everybody says... Everybody goes for that. But you know you're going to be okay the first time.
16.
16.
Yeah, and that's only if I can sit in the back of the theater and watch her. I'm just kidding. I will stalk her, though. We stalk my brother. Like, that's how you do it. Like, we get the little video camera out, and he'd be like, oh, I just went to a friend's house. We stayed there. Really? Because I got a video of you and the girls at the park that you went up to meet. Oh, yeah. I was pretty. My dad and I, we were stealth. But
is the park the makeout place?
It used to be. I don't know what it is now.
I don't either, because I do remember going, like...
Because now it's not a safe place.
Yeah.
It's not just the kids meet up there.
Right. It used to be, let's go meet down at the picnic table in the park, and then...
Yeah, I don't think I couldn't see that being anymore, though.
Making out on the swing set.
Oh, yeah. I do remember
listen
that.
To that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The good old days.
The good old days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's like the baby's in bed. I want to go, no, I'm tired.
So do you have to schedule relationship time now? Or are you just basically, we're too tired.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We already pretty much won the lottery. We got it done. We're good now. No. They say it's better when she's a year old or 2 years old. But she didn't even sleep through the night now. So when you can sleep,
neither do I.
You want sleep.
I don't know why everybody complains about not sleeping through the night. Who sleeps through the night? You don't get a full night's sleep.
No.
Do you get a full 8 hours? You do?
Yeah,
what
yeah,
the hell?
Dude, he's not married. He doesn't have kids. He's young. Dude.
I sleep like 5 hours, go into work, and then I come home from work and sleep like another 4, so.
Yeah, but that's not all. I guess that's still good, though.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about a full, like, people always talk about, I got a full 8 hours. Who? I don't know anybody.
People on drugs.
Friday and Saturday, yeah.
I was going to say, if you take melatonin or whatever it is, it's all natural.
But you live, Flip, you live with your girlfriend now, right?
Yes.
Yes. And you're, of course, married, so you have to live together, unless you're a lucky couple who has a house next door to each other.
Oh, yeah. She figures out the secret. I want to know.
That's one of those things that I've read about that I think is amazing, that people that have houses next door to each other that are married. Have you heard about this?
No.
Yeah, people buy houses next door, but they're married. That way they can spend time together and then just go back to their own home.
That'd be great.
Wouldn't that be almost a good thing?
I'd never have to pick up Aubrey's shoes again. Sign me up.
Me too.
Yes.
I'm a shoe picker-upper. What
yeah,
is the,
that's my job.
Deal with just coming through the door, kicking them off the second you walk through the door?
She moved in and I saw shoes that I'd never... I don't think she's ever seen before. I'm like,
part of it is you and I, Flip, don't buy shoes that hurt our feet.
No.
So that's their deal. They buy shoes that hurt, so gotta get these sons of bitches off as quick as possible.
And she tells me, she's like, your shoes are so ratty. I'm like, they walk on the ground, of course. I don't need them to be pretty.
But where I was gonna go with this, the living together.
Oh, okay.
What was it like when you first moved in together, what's the adjustment period? How long did it take that you actually felt comfortable?
I had panic attacks for 3 weeks.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
No.
Oh, I think that was a little too honest. Yeah. But
right. Yeah. No, if you're listening, no, I didn't.
Sorry, honey.
I'll just keep it real here because I'll have to hear about this fight for months. Sorry.
But what about you? Was there a... The period of, because I think there's that first, when you first moved in, you think this is going to be great, and then you kind of go, how am I handling this?
The first month or two. I think it's hard even moving in with roommates. I mean, remember in college, living with girls was harder, I think, than living with guys.
I've never wanted a roommate, ever.
Yeah, it was, I think that was harder.
Don't you have a roommate right now?
I do, but I'm talking about when people go to, like, advertise for a roommate.
Oh, yeah.
I need a roommate.
Oh, like random strangers.
Like random strangers.
I did that once.
It was awful.
How do you live with a random stranger?
I don't know. You went to jail. It was awesome.
Well, you buy houses next door to each other. I still can't get over that. People really do that?
Yes.
I can imagine. Like, isn't that supposed to be like a man cave? Isn't that supposed to be a place that you can go to escape for a little bit?
Right, right.
I mean, yours is the basement with the cats.
Right, so manly.
So manly, I like it.
Well, okay, between the two of you, let me ask, what changed when you first moved in together? When you first moved, what was the big change?
I don't know where any of my shit in the bathroom is. Like, literally, everything of mine went into, like, some bin hidden in the back.
Mine was constantly picking up and cleaning up after him. Like, it didn't matter. Bathroom, the toilet seat was constantly up, and I'm like, who peed in here? Like, what did you do?
Does he not flush?
Oh, no, he flushes just all over.
All over.
I was like,
floor?
Were you writing your name in this? Like, what was going on there?
You're like, how long have you owned that and you still don't know how to use it?
Yeah, like, I think it would be kind of
It's hard
easy,
sometimes.
But, well, especially he'd always be like, well, you know, we went out drinking last night and I got up in the middle of the night to go pee. The best was one time, and, you know, I think guys do this all the time, where they just randomly have that drunk night where you go pee on something and you just don't know what it is. But so
luckily it wasn't you.
Jenny's yeah. Like, I woke up all wet.
At least we hadn't got to that point of the story yet.
Yeah. No. So I woke up one morning and I'm walking by the washer and it's right by the bathroom. I walk by the washer and I'm like, oh my God, Snoopy peed on the stupid rug again. I'm like pissed at this point, tired. So I grab the dog and I put his nose in it. I'm like, Snoopy, bad dog.
Oh.
I mean, I'm like, and Jason wakes up. He goes, what's going on? I'm like, stupid dog peed on the washer. I'm Kim. Oh, you know, just like livid, pissed, stage 5. So then I clean it up, like get all this stuff out, clean it up. 6 months later, we're out hanging out and he's like, guess what? I want to hear something funny. I'm like, probably not. And he's like, yeah, he's like, that was me. I'm like, you mother. And he let me clean it up. So I can understand if he's like, oh, I'll clean it up, babe. Don't worry about it. Oh. But no, he's like, I think it was kind of me. I woke up middle night. I'm like, so next time Snoopy goes on the carpet, I'm going to rub your damn face in it.
Like, who lets the dog?
I feel bad for Snoopy.
I do too. Like, oh, really? My God. The dog take this.
Snoopy's looking at me like, Mom, that's on my sick. Come on. Why can't you smell this?
Get down here. Check that out.
That's asparagus and Coors Light. What the hell? But yeah, that was one of the worst things. But of course, it takes 6 months to get to the root of that. And then now it's funny. But the day of, if had he told me, he probably wouldn't be here to tell the story.
I'm sure Snoopy was pissed. He's like, oh. Really? You're going to let me take the fall for yeah. this? He's probably in there rubbing his ass on Jason's pillow. Yeah. I'm like, really? This is how we're going to play. All right.
And you've never done anything like that to him. You've never.
No.
You never?
No.
Have you ever come back into the bathroom and went, who forgot to flush? Who pooped and didn't flush?
No.
You've never?
No.
He's never done that to you?
I'm like a religious OCD flusher.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
You've never been like texting or something and realized, oh, okay. Crap. Yeah, I gotta, no. And then just jump up and forget to.
I can honestly say I don't take my phone to the bathroom. I'm worried about germs. But again, really nervous to use your phone or your bathroom.
You don't take your phone to the bathroom?
No.
What are you doing there then?
Yeah.
That's
what do you do in the
get
bathroom?
In and get out.
Best hour of the day.
Oh, yeah, that's God. The relaxing time. Catch up on Twitter and the shitter.
But I spend extra time in there because of silence.
Yeah,
nobody.
It's your time. Oh my God. You can actually think.
Do
come
some
up with
shopping.
Good tweets.
I'm like, oh yeah, I need to buy that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, when Maddie was first born, I did take my phone in there one time. I didn't have to go to the bathroom. I just sat on the bathroom floor because I didn't want to. I needed a moment. She was crying. I was like, Jason, can you take the baby? I got to go to the bathroom. And I sat on the floor. And I was like, I'm just going to. And then all of a sudden he's like, hey, you know, you just updated Facebook and I know you're not in there. Like, oh,
well, that's,
oh. Yeah.
I've done that to Janet because I'll be watching TV and I know where she's disappeared too.
Yeah.
You know? And all of a sudden my phone will just start blowing up because I get Twitter alerts. You know? Like, so I grab my phone. Stop tweeting.
Hurry like, up and
yeah,
get out here.
Now everybody knows they're reading your tweets. They've come from the seat. You know?
Every time somebody tweets like 4 or 5 times in a row, that's what I'm thinking.
Right, if they come in a row, like real, bing, 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 bing. They're pooping and tweeting.
I'm gonna retweet Janet. So how's the toilet?
She'll be mortified. Quote. So when you first moved in together, did either of you have to change to fit the other? Who'd you feel like had to change the most? Did you change to fit him, or did you change to fit her? Or,
I mean, I think I have more rules than he has. Like I'm way more like strict and a little OCD about stuff. And he like, I mean, but we've been together. God, we've been married 11 years. I've been together 13 years now. So it's almost like I've been together longer with him than I was on my own. So. I mean, it's hard to go back and think about when we moved in together. But I remember that first month being mad, going, oh, my God, he's disgusting. Because anytime you live with somebody, you're like, oh, my God, that habit. I'm like, what did you do? Like,
well, this – I thought of – what about you about, before I take
oh,
this off
I don't
track?
Know.
Did
I mean,
change
I don't feel like I changed, so that probably means –
that probably means she did.
Yeah, probably – yeah. You know, I'd already lived alone, so.
Right. Well, I've always thought when people first get together that – when a guy comes over to a girl's house, or anybody, you go over to their house, you get to see how they live.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in and you get to... That's a decision you have to make right there. You see
you're
how they live.
Being judged.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You see how they live. Do you want to continue like yeah. this? And I think guys have it better for the most part mm-hmm. when they go to a girl's house. Because yeah. y'all are typically a little better as far as...
Well, and if he knows you're coming over, he's going to do the flight of the bumblebee and clean up everything. Like, there's not going to be clothes
your ass
everywhere.
Deep cleaning
up.
No, but that's if he knows you're coming over. Oh. I'm talking about the time you're like,
you're
hey,
showing
baby,
the guests drop by.
Yeah, yeah. Or you pick somebody up at a bar and you take them back. You know, the first time you meet, take them back.
Mm.
And a girl, I think she kind of like, has this guy been living in an alley? You know what I mean? It's kind of the same. It has that same feel.
Yeah.
There's some beer cans on the floor, trash over here.
Yeah. But at that point, I mean, I guess it depends on how serious. If you're meeting somebody at a bar and going home, it's probably not a long-term marriage contract you're looking for. Like,
well,
you're
I
like,
know, but
oh, I can live here for 7 hours, 6 hours, whatever it takes to get done with the situation. I don't think I could live here permanently. It's a nice place to visit.
You don't think people ever take somebody home from a bar that first time and then it sticks?
Not anymore.
No?
I don't really.
You mean like they just move in and...
Yeah, I mean like you meet at the bar, you go home for that one hookup or whatever, mm-hmm. and then it just becomes the actual... Or do you think a lot of the one hookups are like, I'm on my way.
Yeah. Well, high five.
Please go.
Good job. Gotta go. I mean, I think that, I don't know, it'd be different for me again. I've been married so long, I don't know. I can't remember the days of picking up people in the bar.
I was never good at it.
You weren't?
No.
No game.
No game.
Neither one of y'all had game. But yet you both have somebody. Who had the game? Somebody. Your husband had the game?
Oh, yeah, he was a little bit of a hoe before I met him.
Oh, really?
Jason, oh, God.
Jason had game once?
Yeah, he was dallying with like three or four of my friends. At the time, we were all working together at the Red Robin and Fort Collins.
Hmm. So he was like a pass-around pack?
Oh, he was like, hey, guys. He'd be the guy, like, end of the night, well, you want me to give you a ride home? Yeah, he was that guy.
And then they'd be like, oh, my God,
he's so cute and so dreamy. He's like...
Is that how it started?
Light
for you?
Of day.
Gave me a ride home.
No, I was the opposite. I was like, dude, you are a hoe. Like, seriously. I'm like, why are you messing with my friends? I was that girl. I was like, the one that's like, I'm going to get in your face about this. And then he was like, I kind of like you. And then my friends were like, bitch.
You always want the challenge.
Yeah. So he had already hooked up with a friend or two before you?
Oh, yeah. And then because we were all friends. I mean, we all worked together. And I remember one time he's like, hey, you want to go catch a movie or something? I'm like, ew, dirty.
Didn't you just sleep with my friend?
Yeah. I was like, well. I would if I didn't know that you were sleeping with three of my friends at the time. And then he still to this day is like...
Did you know any of this?
I didn't know any of that. I have a hard time picturing any of this.
Yeah.
Like, I love Jason, but I just...
But he's so sweet, and he comes off as that sweet guy. Oh, he's a good listener. And it was...
He was a good
Slim
listener.
Pickens. It was Slim Pickens.
Was a sweet guy. All husbands. No. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I like to think I ruined him for other women.
I can never get anything this good again. Oh, my God.
I don't know if I go that far.
That's what I thought you meant by you ruined him. Like, you know, like breaking the internet. You know, like, boom, this is the prize gina right here.
Throw that back out. No.
Jenny's got stories for mom and dad now.
Oh, yeah. I learned a thing or two. Gross.
That isn't anything your mom has ever
said. Oh, no.
She never discussed, like, technique. Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, they would talk. Especially because we tried so hard to get pregnant for so many years.
Oh, no.
The number of late night calls. Hey, Jenny, what are you doing? I think what you should do. Get off my phone! Like, stop! Oh, everybody had advice. Everybody had advice on positions. I'm like, I don't need this advice. Unsolicited advice. Mind you. And Jason's like, yeah, my friend just said do it as often as possible. Okay.
That's kind of what it
that's
is.
That's kind of how it
guys,
works,
guys are like, just go have fun. Women are like, okay, so what you need to do is light a scented candle. It's got to be lavender. It's got to, you know, like they have this
the
whole thing planned
the
out.
Tone and the air conditioner should be set on.
And I'm more of the guy mentality. I'm like, hey, when it happens, let's do it.
Well, isn't it amazing that the people that want to get pregnant rarely get pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
And then like, we did it. Once.
Oh,
for like
yeah.
30 seconds.
The oh, yeah.
Pregnant.
Bristol Palin. Oh, sorry. I went there.
Is that a sore spot with you?
No, I just prefer not to speak my opinions in public.
Oh, really?
So I guess, yes, it is a sore spot. Not one I'm going to tell you either way.
So neither one of you guys get too political in your like Facebook posts or any of that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm country music radio. Like, you can't go either way without pissing everybody off. Like, I feel, even, I mean, you have times where you're just reposting an article or you're just talking about, oh, well, this is in hot water. And Bristol Palin was one. I was like, uh-oh, here's the story. Didn't say anything about it. And then it was like, she is a beautiful person. Okay, my bad. Like, I don't know her personally.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I caught it again yesterday when I posted a Police Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
I caught some hell over that.
I caught it for that, you know.
But like, it's more, I think it's so easy for people to be nasty behind a computer screen because they don't have to face you.
Be anonymous.
Yeah. Don't face me like a man. Okay, bring it. Like, but if you're going to tell me all these nasty things about myself that I didn't even know part of, but I mean, you should probably know a little bit about me as well. Like, I'm not that person. Just because I reposted it doesn't mean, you know, I don't know.
I always try to figure out where it's supposed to fall, though, because I think if you have a little bit of celebrity, you should be using it in some way, you know, maybe not preaching and telling and you should do this. But and again, it goes along the line of, you know, evil triumphs when good people do nothing.
Yeah.
So that's what I always struggle with that, because if you just don't say anything and you let it slide and you see 40 mm-hmm. posts that are totally lies and wrong, aren't you doing wrong by not standing up and going, you bitches are crazy. Everybody that's posted here is out of your mind.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess some way, yes, it is good. But the second I step even on that line or hesitate towards that line, I'm fired. Like, that's how it works. Unfortunately, it's not how it should work. Anytime I have an opinion on something, doesn't matter. I'm like, ooh, beagles are the best dogs. Well, really? Because beagles, and here's 18 articles that I looked up that say beagles suck. And blah, I'm like, okay. Like, I'm sorry that I said that beagles are awesome. My dog's awesome. But, I mean, it's something as simple as that. I posted about Tom Brady one time. And, hello, like, again, I'm editing myself as I'm talking to you. But it's still like, I posted about Tom Brady.
And I want to have a job when I'm done with this.
People on Twitter, people who aren't my listeners, people I don't know, followed the hashtag to something I'd said, like, ooh, okay, so he got caught cheating. He didn't get caught cheating, and he's a champion. And, I mean, I had 4 or 5 people, like, I had to block them on Twitter. They were calling me names. They were, I mean, just fighting. And I'm like, who are you?
But don't you feel like that increases your listenership either way? Because Howard Stern said years ago, you want 50-50. You want people to love you and hate you.
But that's Howard Stern. I mean, he can get away with anything.
But I think that's why radio in itself has gotten, I won't say bad, but like I had a 20-something-year-old kid the other day say to me, who listens to radio? It's so uncool now. Because everybody's listening to, a lot of people are listening mm-hmm. to podcasts, unless it's in your truck or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think part of the attitude of radio has become uncool because we're not the people that they turn into. We just become so generic in our, well,
we have to be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, two people call a station and complain, then the PD or general manager's freaking out that they're going to lose advertisers mm-hmm. and, you know, lose listeners and... You know, it goes either way. I mean, I remember years ago when I did the bit where I proposed to Carrie Underwood.
Oh, I remember it was a great bit.
Yeah, it ended up being a great bit. It worked out great. You and Kelly did the interview with Carrie, if uh-huh. I remember right. And then I got it was a 10-minute interview. I got the last minute and a half or 2 minutes. So I recorded this audio, and I made it sound like I'd gotten a hold of Carrie's phone number. I called her up, and then I said something stupid about her ex-boyfriend, and she hangs up on me. That's what it sounded like. Yeah. Not what happened. It's what it sounded like. So I played the audio for our PD at the time, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's great, blah, blah, blah. Did it on the air, teased it, great bit. Well, then Carrie Underwood's fan club had gotten a hold of the audio, and they were up in arms, so Joel got like 4 or 5 emails from the fan club pissed off. So then he comes in to me like, oh, people are angry, and I'm like, they don't live in this town. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Yeah.
The fan clubs, you don't mess. Oh. That's like a bunch of rabid dogs. No matter who the artist is, mm-hmm. fan clubs scare me.
The biggest fan club, and so far they've been very nice. I mm-hmm. will, because they're listeners to the podcast. A lot of them are the Caniacs. Do you know who they're?
It's
the Caniacs.
Kane and Smith?
Christian Kane.
Christian Kane. Christian Kane. Yeah. He was on the TNT show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Christian Kane has some of the most loyal fans ever. And everything's hashtag Caniac.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets spread around.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just say, hey, I watched Christian Kane's show last night. Retweet 700 times.
Because, oh, wow.
Because the Caniacs are that wild about him.
Does he still have a show?
Yeah, he's on The Librarians now.
Oh, there's love that.
The new show, The Librarians.
Okay.
I love that show.
So I think it can work either way, whether you have really cool fans. So the Caniacs cool
can
fans.
Listen to me, does that mean? Yeah, am I about to be retweeted at 700 times?
Say you love Christian Kane.
I love Christian Kane.
And they will tune in to your show.
I hate Christian Kane.
Hey!
I'm not even on social media, so they're like, wait, I'm gonna email him or Facebook him. I don't exist. I'm kidding. I'm only joking.
Were you guys ever a member of any fan club when you were younger?
I joined, after I pissed off Carrie Underwood's fan club, I joined the fan club to see what they were saying on the message boards, and it was really funny.
What were they saying about you?
Oh, they wanted my head on a stick. Yeah, they were not happy. So I went on there and explained. I'm like, look, this is like a soap opera. It's an ongoing drama of like, I love Carrie, I can't get her.
And you've been saying that for a while.
Yeah,
on
like
the show.
I've been, you know, over a year and a half now. It's been this the stick, and you know, you guys don't realize this because you don't live here. Carrie was in on it. And everybody was cool, but there was like one woman in Chicago who's like, I don't believe it. Bah. She was very angry.
Well, you were like, fine, take your meds and pet your cat.
I was say, I need fans like that, though. Like, I want a fan club like that.
A rabid
hey,
fan
guys,
club?
Hey, guys, they overcharged me the cable company.
Like, get them!
Hashtag suck it! Like, I would love it. No? Okay.
No.
Maybe one day. You don't have to just stomp on my dreams, Carrie Hader.
But you were never in a fan club? You never joined Backstreet Boys fan club?
It
or never...
might have been Eric Church in the church choir.
Were you a member of the church choir?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
Even I never was.
Really?
No, never.
Oh, my God.
Carrie Underwood was
the
only
I'm like
fan
a class
5
stalker for all things Eric Church, though.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when our former boss, our former PD, said Eric Church was over and done?
Oh, yeah. Remember making fun of the glasses he wore? Uh-huh. I told him that is so stupid. Really? Because it's kind of iconic.
I remember sitting in the office and him picking up the CD that had just come out. He's done.
Yeah.
That last song of his, that's the last one. And now he's bigger than he ever was.
Gosh. Mm-hmm. He's on fire. It's just funny, though. It's people like that. It's like, okay, you hold this artist in your hand. You have the potential to promote them, to not promote them. And then there are songs that you're like, oh, this sucks. And we play it every 2 hours. I don't understand that. Like the business of radio.
Kick the dust up.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going there. I'm not going. I didn't say that.
Sorry.
About
I
good.
I said it.
Luke Bryan's
song.
Got some pretty crazy fans,
horrible
too.
Song.
But you got to love how loyal they are to their artist. I mean, I appreciate that. But at some point, you got to realize that there's other people out here who aren't Luke Bryan, who are still human and still need a little bit of consideration.
I would argue every once in a while, because, you know, people would, they come through and they do the listening parties and they're like, this is the new guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this guy's really good.
I mean, you'll never hear him again.
No, but I would try to promote him. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things. I like this guy. He'll never make it. But I'm saying, I like him. Can we give it? No, he's not good. Well, how are you to decide if this guy has a career or not?
Oh, I'll do that on a weekly basis. Going, I'm like, oh my God, like this new old Dominion song. Like, I love it. They're like, nah, it's not doing so well. I'm like, oh, you don't like it? Oh, I haven't heard it, but it's not doing so well.
Yeah, but I read
how
it.
If you don't hear it, do you not know that it's not going to have a life of its own when it grows?
Yeah.
Like, and then some other, I mean, but it's harder, I think, for us too, because we meet a lot of these artists backstage, and most of them are especially in country music, most of them are stand-up awesome guys. But I mean, I have my own opinions of people that have been so nasty to me that I'm like, I don't want to talk about him. Like, he might be one of the biggest superstars in country music, but he's a jerk. Like, he was so mean to me when I was an intern.
Uh-huh.
And I mean,
James Otto?
Mm.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh,
I love that
man.
James listens, so I'll tease him. Yeah, James.
Oh my God, I love you, James Otto. It's James.
We actually do love James.
Oh yeah,
we
hung out with him a lot.
Love James.
I remember.
And he was one, since you brought it up.
Remember?
I remember going into our old former PD's office going, why aren't we playing this? Oh, I love that song, since you brought it up. I love you,
that
James
was
Otto.
That song. He had that one that I love. Was it Drunk Dial? About Drunk
Dial? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I loved that song.
Friends don't let friends drunk or... Drinking Dial.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh,
yeah. Not playing it. No, we're not playing it. It's
great
tune. It's not doing well.
I actually love that whole album. I was a big fan.
Me
and
too.
I remember I got him to call into the morning show after we were out all night with him.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Jenny. Yeah. I was like, how did you talk me into this? I don't know. We were drinking backstage.
We had so much fun with him at the Grizzly Rose.
Oh,
and he was one of those artists, like, he wasn't worried about the chicks. Wasn't worried about the groupies out there. He was like, let's just hang out and BS.
He was so awesome. Like, and once you form that sort of like a bond with somebody, it's like, okay, now he's got another song out. I'm like, hey, can we play this?
Yeah,
can we
I'll
play
do
this
it.
More.
I'll
can
do anything I can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I will retweet.
Oh, I do that.
Everything I will.
We're pals on Twitter and Facebook,
oh,
too. Oh,
nice.
You know, he comments on stuff. And so.
Tell him he was one of the best experiences I had in the intro.
Yeah, I love James.
James was one of the first. It was. Celebrities that I had on this podcast, because right after I left the radio 4 years ago, I sent out emails to a bunch of people, said, hey, you want to be a guest? He's like, yeah, sure. And 4 years ago, you know, James was still in his, you know,
he needs to come back.
He has a song
we missed
out
that
right
voice
now. I'm hoping.
I know. I was on the Wolf, 92.5 the Wolf. I was like, can we play this one again? He's like, oh, use the Phil songs, these new songs. I'm like, oh, can I put James Otto in 3 times in this hour? He goes, no. But I got it in once at least for you,
good.
James.
Well, James, you're getting played again.
But it's like, and then the other people, I mean, honestly, Rhymes with Schmaldine. I mean, he was so mean to me. And it, you know, and everyone's like, oh my God, this new song's great. I'm like, I am so tainted on him because of, I mean, he was so mean to me when I was an intern. It was one of those, like, you go home crying and I'm like, I'm going to be strong. Oh. I'm going to be strong. And it's like, you don't ever treat people like that. It was, you know, I don't know. I feel like that is something that maybe I caught him on the wrong day, or maybe, you know, I'm willing to give people the benefit of the doubt, but I will always have it in my back of my mind.
Anybody on you that twisted you and turned you like, nope, that's it.
Big Kenny. Big Kenny owes me an hour of my life back. Big Kenny from Big and Rich.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I was never been so pissed off at an artist in my entire life. We went up, he played Greeley, and I had to go up and MC the show for the station. Big and Rich were together at the time. Mm-hmm. So we get up there, and Big Kenny, they were, you know, getting ready to do solo projects. So we end up, we weren't even going to go to the meet and greet, but his tour manager's like, no, 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 Big Kenny really wants to meet you guys. And I'm like, okay, sure, I'll go to the meet and greet. I don't need to meet Big and Rich. Like, it's not not an arrogant move. I'd rather send listeners. So I go back, and the tour manager comes up and goes, hey, Big Kenny, you know, really wants to hang out with you guys after the meet and greet. He wants to play you guys some of his solo stuff. You know, he's looking to pimp his stuff. And I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. So we finish the meet and greet. And then we go sit outside his tour bus, and there's the guys from Fort Collins morning show up there. They're sitting out there, too. So me and Valentine, you remember him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're sitting outside the bus. We're chatting with those guys. 15 minutes goes by. Tour manager comes back by. He's like, oh, Big Kenny, you'll be right out, right out. You know, 25 minutes goes by. Tour manager, oh, yeah, he's sorry. You know, his girlfriend's on the bus, and his wife just flew into town, surprised him, and he's freaking out. And I'm like, well, that ain't good, but it ain't my problem. Like, you know. You know, 45 minutes in, I go, dude, what is going on? Like, I don't care. Dude, I have other stuff I'd rather be doing.
So just tell me and I'll be on my way.
Like, I would rather go. No, no, no. He'll be right out, right out. Another 15 minutes goes by and I'm like, I gotta go. I have to go MC. I have to go jump on stage. So I take off and go jump on stage, and I ran into the Fort Collins guys. They stuck around for another half hour. Yeah. They said he came off the bus and went beeline for the stage. Never said two words to him. I'm like, wow, what a douchebag. So when his solo project came out, I told Joel point blank, I was like, I will not play this because I did the new music feature. I was like, I won't play it. He's like, you have to. I'm like, no, I won't.
Get somebody else to do
it. I will not play this song. You can find somebody else to do it. I will not test this song in the new music feature, and I will never say anything positive about him.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
Whoa. Yeah, I was never again.
But the road manager's like, you got to feel bad for them because the guy was obviously trying to get...
Well, yeah,
you know what I mean?
He's trying to, you know,
smooth it over,
pimp his artist, and, you know, I wasn't mad at him, but I'm like...
That happened the other night at the Eli Young Band, though, too.
Was it?
Yeah. And I love Eli Young Band.
The other night?
Yeah, because Eli Young Band was in town, and I love that. I've been a big fan. Grizzly Rose.
Okay. Well, they were?
Mm-hmm.
Just drop in or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, no, it was scheduled, but, I mean, so, I went, and we were, you know, you wait in this long line to go backstage just to take a picture of them, but just wanted to say hi. I mean, we've hung out with them so many times. Big fans, big supporters, everything like that. And then it was, it was a little rough. Their tour manager is awesome. What's his name?
Philip.
I loved him. He, you know, he gave me a hug. He was super nice. Great. But I felt like they've
changed or something.
Yeah. It was different. It was not the same fun. Like guys that like to have fun.
Hanging out.
Yes.
Like seriously.
You remember those days.
I remember hanging out. I remember my band opened for them.
Oh, yeah.
And so we would hang out and sort of became friends. Remember and run
the,
each other.
What was it? The Halloween show. And I dressed up like Guinevere and we were drinking back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember it was like
so many
we were
years.
All friends. Like I ran into him on the street in Nashville one day. Mm-hmm. Hey, where y'all going? We're like, it was not a. Mm-hmm. And then they opened for the, or was it the other way around? I can't remember. But they were playing with the Oak Ridge Boys.
Okay.
Up in whatever.
Yes.
And I'm friends with the Oak Ridge Boys. Yeah. And I thought, oh, cool. Two bands that I know.
Oh, yeah.
And, and I got basically the cold shoulder from the Eli Young Band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same thing. It was not
it was
very.
It was like.
And it's not even like I expect, I mean, they meet so many people. It's not even like I expect them to necessarily remember me.
No.
But it's like, could you be nice and a little friendly?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And that was hard for me because I'm a big, huge, like I said, I've loved Eli Young Band since the beginning, but that was a letdown.
Do you feel like you know where I'm going? Are they slipping? You're nodding.
I'm not.
Are they slipping in popularity? So they're,
because when we were hanging out with them, that was before that. That's before they were big.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
that was
saying,
growing,
now
growing
that they're
with them.
Changing. But. You think it's because they're, are they getting grumpy? You know, or,
I don't
they,
know what it was. I don't know what it was, but it was not the same.
I don't know.
It was not the same. They were not the same guys. You could even tell on stage, I felt like they just,
their heart wasn't in it. They were just kind of going through the motions. And that was sad to see. That's sad to see when you see artists like that. Hopefully they can get a second win and come back. I'm not breaking up with them, my enemies.
Me either. I always like them. And, you know, Chris has always been a nice guy.
Oh, he's adorable.
But I've got one of those guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, who is yours?
I don't even want to say it because I feel so horrible about it. But I went from thinking we were buds, like I will say the name yet, but like he was already a star. I saw him in Vegas one day. I was walking to the casino. I saw him, and I didn't say anything to him because I'd only met him through the radio station. Mm-hmm. I saw him later that day, and he comes up to me and goes, "Dude, you passed me in the casino. You don't say anything. What's up?" You know, oh, I'm like, "Oh, no. I was just trying to," you know. So he actually made the move like saying it. So, hey, cool. Hey, I got thing. Come to the show later. You know, this was cool. So cool. Then he was playing here in town with the guy, Smoke Rings in the Dark, dude.
Gary Allen.
Gary Allen. He was playing with Gary Allen here in town. And
I know who it is.
And he's like, come hang out. Just, you know, we hung out together all night long. I took him to the Grizzly Rose.
I remember that, actually.
Do you remember? And you kind of know who I'd be? So hung out together. And he was all cool. And I will tell me what you want to do. I'll play a free concert for you guys. If you'll get somebody to play my record on the air. And I just became a total devoted fan, you know, not only a friend, but a fan. Loved his album. I had his double album in my CD player and was listening to it on repeat.
Maybe I don't know who it is.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
All right.
He gave me his cell number, and I'd been trying to get a hold of him because I knew he was coming to the Grizzly Rose and left messages and nothing. So that night, basically the same thing you said about Big Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's on the bus. Yeah, wait here. He knows you're here. Yeah, hold on. He'll come. He'll see you. Yeah, he said, hold on. Finally, come on out. Wait here by the bus. It's raining, and I'm standing in the rain. He's making me wait in the rain. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? This is weird. He comes off the bus and just starts walking toward the Grizzly Rose stage, walking with me. And I go, man, what's up? I've been busy, you know, kind of deal. I've been trying to call you. I threw my phone in a lake. I got rid of my phone. Oh, okay. And he walks right straight up onto the stage.
Having a conversation with you.
Having a conversation with me and goes like right up on stage. And I kind of went, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
In my head, I kind of went, I'm done.
And we put up, I think, with more knowing, you know, the everyday of what they do and stuff like that.
I appreciate that.
Could you imagine if a listener, like if their fan had been that person sitting there waiting in the rain? Yeah.
Who is it?
It's Jamie Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I'm a huge Jamie Johnson.
I didn't know it was Jamie Johnson. Okay.
And I even hate to say that because I don't want him if somebody says, hey, you're McGrew bad-mouthing. No, I don't want that, but that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I went from Janet and I were even talking about it. You know, like, did you reach coming to him? I don't care. I'm not going.
People don't understand that we have the same sort of experiences like they do. We fall in love with artists. We get our heart broken by artists. We do. I mean, it's because we, at the end of the day, we are fans. That's why we do what we do.
Right.
Country music. I have a right to like who I like and not like who I don't like. It. I mean, we have the ability, yes, sometimes to meet them, but I mean, we're meeting them as a normal person.
Yeah.
And if they're treating us like that, I can only imagine the influence that we have. I mean, right. I'm at 200 stations across the country. I could, at some point, I could badmouth you like no one's business. I take the high road, although I'm doing it on the podcast. So I'm not sure if that's
that's fine. Oh. But it was one of those deals. Like my switch just got flipped. I mean, it went from like, I don't care. I'm done. You know, if that's the way he wants, that's the way he treats supposed people. How do fans get treated every once in a while? Yeah.
And I don't know how you guys treat it, but like with artists, you know, I expect there to be a barrier of like, hey,
I do too.
Professional. Yeah. And, you know, where you ran into it, where you saw him in the casino, you didn't say anything, and then he came up to you later.
Hey, weren't you going
to
say anything to me?
Yeah.
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 You weren't all girmy.
You weren't all up in his face. When they open that door, then it's like, okay, like if you want to let the wall drop, fine. No problem. Like that was.
Mm-hmm. And once you become that, hey, come hang out with me, here's my number. You know,
like Big Kenny, I wasn't trying to hang out with Big Kenny. I really didn't care. You know, that was something his tour guy was, you know, oh, Big Kenny wants to, okay, whatever, sure. You know, Eli Youngman, those guys, like, We went to their shows. They were like, hey, let's hang out, blah, blah, blah. Come on the bus.
Hey, you know, you're the hangover fairy. I brought them goldfish crackers and Pedialyte the night before they were playing in Colorado Springs. They were partying with him. And I was like, I'm going to bring everybody some little something. And they're like, oh, thank you so much. You know, like that's something that you would do nicely because not a friend necessarily, but, you know.
Hey. But then when the wall's down, it's like, well, the next time you see him, I saw Eli Young Man, I don't know, last summer or the summer before. So all the guys are like, hey, Flip, blah, blah, blah. And then their tour manager, Philip, comes up and he's like, hey, you know, let me get your number. We can hang out after the show. And I'm like, hey, sounds good. Whatever. Give it to him. So I'm waiting around after the show and nothing. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
I didn't initiate this. Like, right. Just don't waste my time.
Right.
I don't know.
I sort of got my feelings hurt at the Clint Black show.
Oh, did you this weekend?
Why?
Yeah. Out of nowhere, just out of nowhere, Bill Ingvall walks out on stage to open the show.
Oh, you didn't know he was going to be there?
No.
He just
was going to come see the show. Mm-hmm. He was actually sitting in the audience later on. He opens the show, and I'm like, holy crap, Bill's here. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And as a comedian, you know him.
Yeah, and I've known him for years. Yeah. I mean, before Blue Collar, known him for years. And so I sent him a note saying, hey, I'm here too. I'm out in the audience. And somebody else saw on Twitter that I'd done it. And they go, hey, Bill, McGrew's at this. They're tweeting to him that McGrew's in the, y'all should meet up. So I'm like, I'm still looking at my Twitter every once in a while, see if he's replied. I'm walking through the audience and I see Bill sitting in the audience. And I go, hey, Bill. And I knock him on the arm. I go, Bill, McGrew. Oh, hey. And he introduces me to his wife. You know, this is McGrew. And I go, I don't want to, the show's going on. Hit me up later. I'm sitting right over there with Janet. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of pointing where I'm sitting. Oh, okay, yeah. So he's leaving. He leaves before the show's over. He walks right in front of me. And I go, Bill.
He's gone?
He walks by and he turns around and goes, oh, hey. And he points at like Janet and I go, yeah, that the girlfriend. And he goes, gave like a thumbs up and then makes like a call me sign. Mm-hmm. Like even Janet goes, do you have his number? I go, no, but we keep in touch through Twitter and Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, oh, okay. So I see Bill walk down behind the stage and he's talking to security and he's pointing back toward the audience. He's pointing like back, I see him and I go, I don't know what he's doing, but he's pointing to Janet. He's pointing, I don't know.
At
us, or saying, I got a friend, or maybe go get him, or what. You know, that's just running through my... So I tweeted him after the show, hey, great job, nice set, it was good seeing you.
Nothing.
Now it's been 2 days, and still nothing. And I didn't want to get my feelings hurt, but I sort of did.
What happens?
What is that... Not even a tweet back or, hey, it was good seeing you or...
And is he, I'm taking it he's pretty active on Twitter. I'm guessing he's pretty active on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can understand if they don't do that, but it's like...
Like, I knew you when you were in the club. I knew you when you were the house MC. I knew you along the trail. We've always sort of been friends. I did a DVD with you called The History of Country
Comedy. I don't want anything from you. I just... Common courtesy, or like, hey,
I honestly was interested in the same scene.
Yeah.
God. So, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I saw Janet at the Kenny Chesney concert on Saturday, and she was talking about how you didn't like going to shows anymore, really, for the most part.
Yeah.
And, you know, Steve won't come to shows with me. And I said, Janet, I said, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't know what Steve's mindset is. I said, but from my own perspective, it's hard going from working in radio to not working in radio. It's a hard reality when you realize all of those relationships were fake.
Everything about it is fake.
Every part of it. And that's a tough pill to swallow because, like you said, we're fans. You know, when they drop the wall and it's like, okay, like, you want to drop the wall? That's fine. And
we'll be real people.
Yeah,
be real people. We'll all be good. Yeah,
but nope, it's all fake.
Yeah, so. And it's even, like,
It's like picking a random stranger up at a bar, taking him home with you. The sun's kind of up. See you later. I'll tweet you.
Yeah.
Call me.
I'll call you. You kind of feel used a little bit.
But I mean, that's how everybody goes through it, I guess. The difference is maybe we have access that other people don't some days. But for the most part, it really does break your heart when you're like, you're not human?
Yeah, I thought we were all human. Yeah. Weren't we all human? Oh, part of my deal with her when I told her I don't go out is because people want to know, where are you? What are you doing? What have you been doing? Where aren't you? Mm-hmm. And they don't leave you alone to watch a show.
Oh.
I don't know if you've had any of that.
No, because I wasn't a face of the station like you were. So, I mean, people... You go out in public with Steve, and it's, you know.
Get noticed. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, people know who the hell you are. So.
Mudflap. Oh, who are you? Nobody.
I never had
you
that
his
problem.
Girlfriend? No, no, I'm Jenny D. I'm actually still on the radio.
That's funny.
But it's, I mean, but yeah, I never really had that. I mean, as when I was promotions, I remember there were people be sucking up to me all the time. Yeah. Oh, you got free tickets? Got whatever. And I still get that all the time. Don't take, like, we haven't talked in seven, 8 years. Oh, do you have any hookup for Taylor Swift?
Oh, do you have people hit you up for that?
Oh, all the time. Especially now that I started doing that.
Oh, you got people
still hit me up. Out of radio for 4 years, and I still get.
I work in radio, and I bought tickets for Taylor Swift because I'm like, I'm not asking.
I couldn't, but I wanted to so bad. Yeah. Oh, my God, the show I wanted to see. But again, I work in radio. I work for local and network, and I still couldn't get tickets to Taylor Swift. I don't know who I have to sleep with, but let me know.
Oh, I've got a couple cards from Taylor, you know, over the years.
The handwritten cards.
The handwritten cards. And I mentioned to somebody about getting those cards from Taylor when she first started. And somebody went, you think Taylor wrote those?
Yes.
I really do think she wrote them.
She does.
And then somebody goes, oh, that's her PR team. I go, I don't believe it. I think Taylor, this was the first year or two, you know.
They were smart with her.
I think they were.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she also has that. I mean, she's smart. Like, she's so smart.
Yeah, she's a good business person.
She'd be that person, though. We're talking about all these people who are like, whatever. But yeah. She'd be that person. Never would blow you off. Ever, ever, ever. I honestly, I mean, look at what she does all the time. She'll be like, random Tumblr posts. Oh, here, you know, she sends that personal message out. She does, like, she is constantly following her fans and all that. I mean, she is so invested and married with her fans.
The only thing changed that I saw in Taylor over the years was
her boobs.
I never saw those. But no, it was the...
Believe me, neither has he.
Like, she didn't mind taking pictures with you, or like when you were at the interview table, you could take pictures, or at one point, she picked up my camera and took a couple pictures of herself, you know. And then the last time when I did it, this has been 4 or 5 years ago, Janet was... like our official photographer. She was on the trip and was taking pictures, and she was like, no, need to let my photographer take the pictures. They become jaded in the image that
she
wanted out.
I think that that's
out.
Her people.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that's her people.
But it was
people.
Still her saying it instead of, you know, still, don't you at one point still have your own career or my own, like, hey, I know...
But
she can take my picture.
But she's a machine.
I know. She's
at that
part
point,
of the
I mean,
big machine.
She literally is. I mean, she's her own little entity there. And I couldn't imagine what people would do. She doesn't necessarily know Janet personally, what she's going to do with that camera. I think that's kind of one of those things that they want to be able to, hey, if this happens, we know exactly where this was taken. This is a copyright. And we can pull this down if we don't like it.
Yeah.
Can't copyright a picture if it's on someone's phone.
Right. But that's them controlling the image that everybody gets to see.
Well, now
this
she's
is
Pop.
Everything.
You have to kind of.
Yeah. You
know, I mean,
what
Pop's a little different, but.
We're going to Shania Twain on Friday. Aubrey's huge, huge Shania fan. Love
you
Shania.
Suck.
Huh?
Oh. You suck.
Yeah, she did. Child. I couldn't care
I keep
less.
Trying to get him sick so that I can go instead.
I'm not a big Shania fan.
What?
I'm not. I'm really. I mean, she's. She's good. She's
Why don't you
hot.
Let Jenny go instead, then?
If it wasn't for the fact that it's like birthday present, whatever, I probably would.
I think she'd rather go with me anyway, but
she probably would, actually. Mm-hmm. Both sing along. So I was talking to some of my buddies that, you know, still work in the radio and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, so just out of curiosity, you know, asking for my girlfriend, I don't even want to go. Do you have any hookup for Shania? And they're like, she's not doing any meet and greets. Zero meet and greets. No radio meet and greets. She's meeting no meet and greets. Which I found interesting. I was like, wow.
How is that good for business?
She's not working any new music right now. She is supposedly working on a new album, but right now not working on any music, so she doesn't have to do them. And she's not going to with none of the PDs.
But I would think you'd want to preempt that with like,
she was so nice.
We came through. I can't wait to get your new album.
Yeah.
You know, there's this whole pre thing, you know.
I mean, even George Strait was smart enough that, you know, big dude in country. Garth Brooks is smart enough, you know. He did. He at least met the PDs and, you know, and not that I don't even care for my sake. I just found that interesting. I'm like, I've never heard of an artist flat out saying I'm doing zero meet and greets. Not country artists. I've heard of other pop artists and, you know, that roll through town and refuse to do any sort of meet and greet, but not a country artist. It was like, wow.
Yeah, country artist seems more, they seem more acceptable or accessible.
Down
yeah.
to earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was, and most I of always them thought are. That in radio too, that the country artists are not like the rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, oh, yeah.
They are. They're stars. They're mm-hmm. celebrities. But yeah. they've always been like, oh, man, I just sing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When I worked with Dolly, you know, she's just so sweet and so mm-hmm. normal. Oh, thank you. I'm just, you know.
That's just how it's a whole different culture like that, you know? But yeah, anytime I've ever gone to another, except for Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran was really nice. And he was a sweet kid. Hey, he does. Stop it.
He does.
Him and Al Roker.
I do not. Hey.
Well, we made it to an hour, guys. Again, I'm going to save this one. I swear this one's going on the internet.
Hey, Flip. Flip, do you want to go check that?
The next one will be even better.
Flip, do you want the we're getting better with each one.
Just whatever you do, don't go to 789USA.com. Because they will delete it for you, apparently.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for doing the podcast.
Thanks.
Flip, how does anybody find you? They can't.
They can't. Thank God. Christian Kane fans, keep trying. I like Christian Kane. I really
don't. What's going to happen is someone's going to send me something and be like, can you pass this message yeah. along?
Well, you know my... You
will
know,
you afford this?
Yeah.
You know my Christian Kane story from just recently, right?
No, I don't think so.
Janet goes out of town to mm-hmm. go visit her parents. I'm laying in bed. I'm uh-huh. actually mm-hmm. in bed watching TV. I get a call from my friend Colin, a writer director here in town, and he goes, "Hey, guess who I'm sitting with?" What? And it's Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Christian's filming a movie up in Boulder, and they're like, "Nice. Come have dinner. Just go, come up and have dinner." I go, "I'm already in bed. Throw some clothes on and come on."
Seriously.
So you drove up, didn't you?
Yeah. So I went up and had dinner with Colin and Christian Kane and some other people from the movie. We went to a haunted house.
Nice.
In Boulder together. I had so much fun. And he was super nice guy. He paid for dinner.
Nice.
Bought me dinner.
Nice. Yeah,
that's a good first date.
Yeah, great first date. So I've got nothing bad to say about Christian. But the funny part was Jen is like, I go out of town.
You're in trouble now.
And Christian Kane just calls and says, "Hey, you want to come to dinner?"
Out of the blue.
I go, "Yeah, that's kind of the way." She goes, "You live in such a different world."
Oh, that's true. Oh, my gosh. I would have been up there before the phone call was even. Oh, I'm sorry. What? I'm on the road.
I heard he's making a movie.
I really do love him. I think he's adorable.
But I think we do sort of live in a different world.
Well, you guys more so than me. I mean, I network radio. I'm behind the scenes.
It's a hard reality when that world, you know, it's it.
Yeah.
When it starts to go away, you're like, oh, wow.
What'd you say to me the other day? You're like, it's kind of good that you were overnights or you kind of nothing, quote unquote. I'm like paraphrasing there.
What?
But he's like, it was kind of good that you didn't live through that. Remember JJ and us were talking about that? And it's like, it's kind of good that you didn't have the heyday through there. I'm like,
yeah, JJ was talking about the heyday of radio in like the 80s or something. And I was like, we didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I maybe.
We used to have fun, though. I mean, but we were so like a family back
then. Yeah, we had a good time.
I mean, I still talk to every single one that worked with us.
Like 2005, 2006,
I didn't get there until 2007.
Oh, that's when you got there?
Yeah.
But we had done some big shows, and our PD at the time mm-hmm. said, I have been on radio for a long time, and I've never seen people have the rock star attitude of this station.
Mm-hmm.
Like the screaming that would happen when you'd walk out to open a show and, you know.
Well, it's because, like, I mean, you was Kelly Ford. I mean, she would be the person that was talking and tweeting. And, I mean, she was one-on-one with her people. She was very candid, very open, very willing to get to know you. She would remember everyone's name.
Who?
Kelly Ford.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Sorry, I missed
that's,
you.
I tried to do the same thing. Another thing for me was I had that Comedy Central
mm-hmm.
special.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was on Comedy Central and the radio. So,
but even being your producer in the mornings, like I would listen, you know, screening the calls and stuff. It's like, oh, Mudflap, Kevin's on the phone. Kevin, ask him how the kid. I mean, like you guys, hundreds of people call every morning, but you'd still remember details about these people. You'd still spend 5 minutes talking to them in between the chaos that is a morning show. And I mean, I took that with me to my shows once, you know. I still, Facebook, Twitter, like, I still am very active with people. You send me a message, I'll send you one back.
Yeah.
Might not be today, but it'll be this week, and it'll be when I can. But it's more up to the point, like, if you're going to take that active interest in sending me a message, then I'm going to be the one to reply to you, because that's a relationship builder. And for me, I won't forget that.
Right.
I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, even if someday I get famous, probably won't be for something I love.
I think one of the coolest things we ever did was when we gave everybody their own name.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that on the morning show?
The nickname generator?
The nickname generator.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wanted one. I mean, you just...
Well, and you could remember, too, because they'd come up and it would be like, you know, you talk four
minutes. Like, I'm Silver Spoon. Remember me? I'm Silver Spoon. Like, what? Yeah. I'm Knuckle Dragon.
I remember that. Oh, my God. I remember that.
We gave everybody a
nickname. I remember that.
And they were easier to remember than going, hey, this is Bobby.
Yeah, once you share a laugh, it's a lot easier to...
What was Karen's name? Batshit Crazy, out of curiosity?
It was, actually, yeah. I think we just called her BS Crazy.
That's more of an inside joke than we had a crazy caller named Karen.
We did. All right, well, guys, thanks for doing the podcast.
Thanks so
Jenny,
much.
Before we go, how do the people find you?
Facebook.com/JennyDOnTheAir or at JennyDOnTheAir through Twitter.
And that's it?
Oh, Instagram, at JennyDOnTheAir. I mean, that's, it's pretty much,
and,
you
and
Google that.
And if they live
that.
In Denver or whatever cities they're in, how do they find you on the radio?
If you find me, I can probably find a place near you. Because there's so many little, smaller accounts.
I know, because you're like in a syndicated thing. Mm-hmm. So. Cool. Well, thanks for doing the podcast. We will do it again. Thanks. People, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate having you. Till next time, God bless America, and go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu.